You are listening to BensTorah.com.
I wanted to share with you an interesting shaila that is very, very, very halach l'maisa, relating to Tisha B'Av, relating to the all the fast days, actually. Shavuot Tammuz, Asar B'Teves, Tzom Gedalia, and certainly, of course, Tisha B'Av. Now, the question is as follows. Sometimes you have a situation where somebody is not able to fast a whole day. What do I mean by that? It could be any of many things. We'll talk about some parameters as we go. But let's say it's hard for a person to fast, or they're advised to medically not fast. So they shouldn't fast. They should eat, of course. If that's what the doctor says, that's what they do. We're not going to speak about Yom Kippur tonight. Not Yom Kippur tonight. What I want to talk about this evening is what's the halacha about somebody who is going to be able to break their fast. Should they fast at least a few hours in the beginning? So let me just turn on my recording. Hold on, please. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Zoom shiur. Tonight's shiur is going to be discussing what is the halacha about somebody who is going to be fasting, but not fasting the whole day. So should they fast for a few hours in the morning as a way to partially fast if they're not going to be obligated to fast the rest of the day for whatever medical reasons? That could be one of numerous medical reasons. So to introduce this discussion, what I'd like to do is take 10 steps backwards and introduce the ideas that are cited in halacha of why we have the takana. What's the nature of the takana of Tisha B'Av, Shavuot Tammuz, Asar B'Teves? Why do we fast? It's not d'oraisa. Is it d'rabbanan? Is it not d'rabbanan? Is it a minhag? We're going to see some fascinating things about that. And after we understand the nature of why we fast in the first place, we'll be able to better understand the parameters of fasting and what is going to be the halakha ultimately if for somebody who does not need to fast a whole day. Should they fast at least for a few hours? So the question that we have, acholish ein bo sakana, who can fast for a few hours without a problem, should they? So let's go back to the very discussion about the fact that we have to fast in the first place on these various fasts, the four fasts that are what we call me the Rasofrim, as we'll see shortly. So the backdrop, before we talk about fast, is actually going to be a discussion in Rosh Hashanah. The Shnayim in Rosh Hashanah speak at length about sending people out, messengers out to all of the Klal Yisrael, wherever they might be living, in order to inform them when the new Rosh Chodesh is. So we have to know that whenever there's a Yontif in the following month, they would send out a Shliach to inform the people. And one of the points it says, and we're not going to go to the other points, as you see on the screen, is on Av, before Rosh Chodesh Av, they would send people out, a Shliach out to all the Jewish communities around the world, Mipnei HaTainis, so everybody would know when Tisha B'Av is. The Gemara asks a very obvious and simple question. The Gemara asks, why do they send people out for Tisha B'Av and not for Shavuot Asar B'Tammuz and not for Asar B'Teves? That's the Gemara's question. So to answer that, we're going to get into a little bit of a beautiful discussion of why we fast at all, and then we'll see why Asar B'Teves and Shavuot Asar B'Tammuz don't get a shliach to announce Rosh Chodesh, whereas Tisha B'Av does warrant a shliach. So the Gemara responds the following. The Gemara says, what does the pasuk mean? The Navi Zechariah in Perches Zechariah says a pasuk that is quite famous, because this is a famous pasuk that says that in the future, the four tzomos will end up being days of celebration. Kol Hashem Tzokos. Tzom HaRavi'i, the tzom of the fourth month, that's Shavuot Asar B'Tammuz. Tzom HaChamishi, that's the fifth month counting from Nisan, that's Tisha B'Av. Tzom HaShvi'i, that's the seventh month from Nisan, which is Tzom Gedalia. Tzom HaAsiri, the tenth month, which is Asar B'Teves. All these four fasts, Yiyeh lebeis Yehuda, lisason, ulisimcha, ulmoadim, tovim, and that's always the bracha that we wish one another, that the fast days that we are expecting to fast, perhaps this Tisha B'Av HaBa'al El Tova, should indeed be not one of fasting, but of sason, simcha, moadim, tovim. So the Gemara is bothered by something. The Gemara is bothered by the following seeming contradiction. We're calling these days a tzom. Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShvi'i, Tzom HaAsiri, and yet, at the same time, we're describing them as sason, simcha, moadim, tovim, which seemingly is a contradiction. I mean, of course, you're going to say, well, they used to be a tzom, and in the future, we hope that they're going to be for sason and simcha. But it's a little bit more complicated than that. The reason is because there's a pasuk elsewhere in Zechariah that describes the same fast day as only, if you look here in the small letters, kitzamtem usfod b'chamishi, it describes it only as a fast day. And here we're describing the same day. You'll see as we get a little further in that there's a contradiction within the pasuk of, on one hand, calling it a tzom, on the other hand, calling it a day of simcha and sasan. So that's the contradiction that the Gemara is bothered by. And the Gemara is going to give an answer. With that answer, we're going to be able to answer our original question of why shlichim only have to go out for Tisha B'Av and not for Shavuot Asar B'Tammuz and Asar B'Teves. And this is the key line for tonight's shiur. Amar Papa, Hachik Amar. This is how we should resolve the inherent contradiction that exists in the pasuk that simultaneously calls these fast days on one hand a tzom, and on the other hand, a time of sason and simcha. And Rav Papa says the following, V'zman sheyeh shalom, yiyu l'sason l'simcha. When we have shalom, now what does shalom mean? Does shalom just mean peace? It means there's no fighting? Maybe it means when it's the base of Mikdash. Then, let's assume like that. Let's assume when there's peace, meaning in the presence of the Beis Hamikdash, then Yiyeh L'Sason or L'Simcha, then the fast days are actually to be celebrated as Yamim Tovim. Yeshmad, in a time of destruction, whenever there would be such a time period, which is the opposite of the Beis Hamikdash, the time of destruction, Tzom, let me explain to you what that means. Tzom means it is an obligatory, there's an absolute chiyuv to fast. It's obligatory that it be a day of fasting. The Navi is calling it a day of fasting. However, there's a third category. I thought there were only two, during a time of Beis Hamikdash, Shalom, and a time of destruction. No, there's an intermediate category. Ein Shmad ve'ein Shalom? If it's neither a time of Shmad, of destruction, nor is it a time of Shalom, of having the Beis Hamikdash, then what is the halacha about fasting? It depends what you want to do. Ratzu, if they want, mis'anim, they fast. Ratzu, if they want, ein mis'anim, they don't have to fast. And Rashi explains, what does that mean? In a time of this intermediate period, when it's not, I don't mean intermediate chronologically, I mean intermediate conceptually, if it's not a time of Shalom of the Beis Hamikdash, nor is it a time of destruction, then it's a time that you, sort of like now, we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, but we're not living in a time of destruction. So we're living in this third twilight zone time period. We're living in this epic of Ein Shmad Ve'ein Shalom. And therefore, what is the halacha today for fasting? The halacha today for fasting is, it depends what we want to do. If we want, we could fast. If we don't want, we can fast. Now please, don't hang up the, don't shut your computers or hang up the phone right now, because you're going to get the wrong message. So please listen to the end. I was actually on a rabbinic conference call a few weeks ago, about a month or two months ago, and a physician was addressing the rabbanim, and he wanted to make a point. And he said something. He said, COVID is over. And he said, nobody hang up the phone, because COVID is over. And he wanted everyone to realize that he was building up something when he was going to say, it's over, like, in, you know, within our, you know, 12-block radius, but everywhere outside of that, we have to be exceedingly careful and very, there's a lot to be concerned of. And somebody hung up the phone and spoke to a local medical expert and said, oh, I heard from the rabbi that COVID is over. He entirely missed the point and of the message. So if you stop here and just take this line out of context, it'll not be good. We're not saying that if you want to fast on Tisha B'Av, you can fast. If you don't want to fast, don't fast. But that is the word, those are the words of the Gemara. We'll have to understand what that means, though. So what? Why is it important to know that nowadays, when we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, but we're not in a time of destruction, the obligation to fast is one of, if we want to, we do. If we don't, we don't. Oh, now we could come back and answer the original question. You remember the original question was, how come they send out shlichim on Av for Tisha B'Av? And the Gemara asked, why don't they also send out a shliach to tell us when Rosh Chodesh Tammuz is, for Shavuot B'Tammuz? Why don't they send out a shliach for Aseret Teves, before Teves? The answer is, because these fast days are anyway only optional. And if it's only optional, then there's no need to send out a shliach for a holiday or a fast, whatever you want to call these days. That's anyway only optional. Wait a second. If it's optional, then Tisha B'Av is also optional, right? Wasn't that one of the four? That's the Gemara's question. Ihachi. If so, that you're telling me that the fast days, the four fast days in the Jewish calendar are all optional, so Tisha B'Av Nami is also optional, and therefore why did you say in the Mishnah that you do send out a shliach for Av, so that the Jewish people know when to fast on Tisha B'Av? I thought you just told me it's optional. And since the Gemara, you're right, it is optional, but Shani Tisha B'Av Ho V'Huchpelu Bo Tzaros. Tisha B'Av is unique in the multiple Tzaros that have occurred on Tisha B'Av. And since there are multiple things that happen on Tisha B'Av, more so than any other of the fast days, therefore, even though they're all optional, including Tisha B'Av, but since it's so intense, we, even though it's an optional fast, but since Huchpelu Bo Tzaros, for the word Kefal, double, since there are a double amount of Tzaros on Tisha B'Av, we therefore feel that it's appropriate to send out the Shlichim to inform the Jewish people around the world when Rosh Chodesh Av will be, so they could fast on Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is a little bit more severe than the other Yom Tovim, the other fast days, even though all of them, Tisha B'Av included, is indeed optional. Where do we see that Huchpelu Bo Tzaros, that there are more Tzaros on Tisha B'Av? Because we know that on Tisha B'Av was the same day that the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Nilkat the Beis, Beitar, Nechar Shahir, Yerushalayim was plowed, and etc. Now, before we go on, just a very quick historical question that the Rashba asks and other, and Tosfos asks, you're telling me that Tisha B'Av is different, Tisha B'Av is unique, Tisha B'Av is more severe than everything else because Tisha B'Av has a double whammy? We have the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash and the second Beis Hamikdash? Can I ask you a question? Isn't the same exact point of Shavuot B'Tammuz? Tisha B'Av had five things happen on it. Guess what? Shavuot B'Tammuz had five terrible things that happened on that day. Tisha B'Av had the destruction of the two Batei Mikdash. Guess what? Shavuot B'Tammuz was the breaking of the breaching of the walls of the two Batei Mikdash. So what's the difference between Shavuot B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av? See, here you have to know a little bit of history. The Rashba knew history. The Rashba says that although we celebrate, we commemorate Shavuot B'Tammuz, which is the destruction of the walls of Yerushalayim and the breaching of the walls and the infiltration of foreign enemies into Yerushalayim, they both happened around Shabbat Seder B'Tammuz. But in the first Beis HaMikdash, that was actually on the ninth day of Tammuz. And on the second Beis HaMikdash, it was Shabbat Seder B'Tammuz. So therefore, even though we think about the breaching of the walls was on Shabbat Seder B'Tammuz and both but the Mikdash, we commemorate both of them on Shabbat Seder B'Tammuz, but the actual dates was 8 days apart, many years, hundreds of years apart, and 8 days apart, as opposed to Tisha B'Av, when on the very same day, on Tisha B'Av, both the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash was burnt down, was destroyed. And therefore, Tisha B'Av is in a class of itself, class of its own, and therefore for Tisha B'Av, because Huchbulah Bataros will send Shlichim out to all the cities in the diaspora and tell them in Eretz Yisrael and the diaspora to inform them when Rosh Chodesh is, so they could fast, so they'll know exactly what the right day is. And on the other fast days, we don't, it's not worth it, because they're optional fasts anyway. Even though Tisha B'Av is also an optional fast. Now, I don't want you to hang up, because what in the world am I saying that Tisha was an optional fast? Those are the words that we're going to have to understand. Now, what I'd like to show you is an incredible Ritva. The Ritva is going to analyze the Gemara that we just learned together and offer a few fabulous insights. And after we see this Ritva, we're going to have an incredible appreciation of what is the nature of our fast, and with that we'll be able to pass in our shayla as to what to do for somebody who is not going to be able to fast the whole day. Should they fast for a few hours, or should they not? Let's go back to the pasuk that the Navi Zechariah prophesied. Not prophesized, there's no such word in the English language as to prophesize, it's to prophesy. It's good to know. Okay, so what the Navi Zechariah prophesied the following. He said that there will be a time when these four fasts, Ashvaz B'Tamaz of Tisha B'Av, Asom G'day V'Asar B'Tez, will be L'Sasam V'Simcha. Can I ask you a question? When did Zechariah live? What is he talking about? Is he talking about a time like when did Zechariah live? Did Zechariah live after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash or the second Beis HaMikdash? Well, if Zechariah lived after the second Beis HaMikdash, so he's talking about the future. In the future, when Mashiach comes, then these days will be L'Sasam L'Simcha L'Moadim Tavim. But it can't be that Zechariah lived after the second Beis HaMikdash. First of all, as my father will tell you, that's clearly just wrong. Second of all, there's no Nevuah. We lost Nevuah. Klal Yisrael lost Nevuah at the very beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. There was no Nevuah. Zechariah could not have lived after the second Beis HaMikdash. Zechariah, of course, lived after the first Beis HaMikdash. So that means, now that we have a time frame for this Nevuah that you see bolded on your, highlighted on your screen, after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, there are four fast days to commemorate what? To commemorate the destruction of the four significant moments in the first Beis HaMikdash. So in Gedaliah was killed in the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. Asar HaBateis, when they surrounded, they besieged Yerushalayim, the first Beis HaMikdash. Shabbat Seder B'Tammuz, we're off by a few days, but was to commemorate that fast of Tammuz, I should say. Notice that this pasuk does not mention Shabbat Seder B'Tammuz, it just calls it Tzom Harvi, the fast of Tammuz. The fast of Tammuz, whenever it may fall out exactly, is because they broke through Yerushalayim's gates in the first Beis HaMikdash. And Tisha B'Av was because they destroyed Yerushalayim on the of the first Beis HaMikdash. Now that Zechariah pointed out those four fasts for the first Beis HaMikdash, what does he say? Yeah, it will be that these days will be days of celebration. When? Well, in 70 years, when the second Beis HaMikdash will be built, there won't be a need to commemorate the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, because it is going to be a second Beis HaMikdash. So in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, now look at the end of the pasuk, it's not talking about Yemos HaMashiach. It's not talking about a time of a Geulah Shlema, and we hope one day, after thousands of years, a millennia of Jewish history, that there will be a time that we'll be able to celebrate it. No! In a few decades hence, Zechariah says, you'll have the second Beis HaMikdash, everyone will come back to Yerushalayim from Bavel, 70 years later, after the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, and at that time, throughout the duration of the second Beis HaMikdash, these days will be days of Yom Tov. And that's exactly what Rav Papa said. Rav Papa said, Hachi Kamar, Bizman Sheyeshon, when there will be the second Beis HaMikdash, Yihyu L'Sason L'Simcha. There we go. Okay, so we understood now a few words of this Gemara. That's how the Ritva explains what we just learned. Okay, let's continue with Ritva. The opposite extreme, as we saw, was that if you don't have the Beis HaMikdash and it's a time of destruction, then, let's look back at that Gemara. I'm sorry, I'm just taking from here to there. The Gemara explained the pasuk to tell us that if there's a time of Shmad, of Tzom, if there's a time of Shmad, of destruction, then these days are to be days of Tzom. Remember, the pasuk said both things. It said joy and Tzom, Simcha and Tzom. So we're saying, in a time of the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, for example, and of course the third also, then these days will be days of celebration. In a time of destruction, these will be days of Tzom. What are days of Tzom? Vim Ein Shalom, the Ritva explains, She Beis HaMikdash Charev, V'yesh Shmad al Yisrael. So it's a time of that there's no Beis HaMikdash, and there's destruction, de'ika tarti ligreisa. Tarti ligreisa means there's a double whammy, there are two negatives. There's a dovetailing of two bad situations for Klaisel. A, you don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and B, it's a time of destruction. Then, these days will be sheyehu tzom gomer. It will be an absolute, you see what that word, gomer, absolute? It will be an absolute, it won't be optional. It will be an absolute requirement to fast not midoraisa, because it's not in chumah chamish Torah. So why would we have to fast? Migzeras neviim harishonim, a gzera of those neviim who lived when, who lived, I guess, in the time of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, who instituted these days as commemorating the destruction or the ending of that first Beit HaMikdash. They made a takana. Now this is stronger than a takana of chachamim, because it's actually a takana of neviim. Now, of course, it's Durabanan, but within the category of Durabanans, there's a hierarchy. There's a totem pole. There's high-level Durabanans, there are lower-level Durabanans. A Durabanan from the time of the Mishnah is stronger than a Durabanan in the time of the Gemara, because the Mishnah is earlier. Guess what? Even stronger than a Durabanan in the time of the Mishnah is an earlier Durabanan, which would be a Durabanan from the time of the Nevi'im. Here we have the four fasts is a high-level Durabanan established by the Nevi'im at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. And now, that's why... Let's go back to our pasuk again. That's why when our pasuk says, both calls these days tzom, as well as sason and simcha, the word sason and simcha refer to when there will be a Beis HaMikdash. The word tzom refers, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to wear a mask, you're not going to catch anything. You're far away. If I had a higher definition TV screen, maybe it would be different, but at least for now we're fine. So, the mission, the pasuk is telling us, if it's a tzom, meaning it's not the entire basis, it's going to be a tzom. What kind of tzom? A tzom that is absolutely obligatory, not optional, absolutely obligatory. And what kind of obligation? Not just drabbanan, higher level drabbanan, the highest level drabbanan, which is the drabbanan from the time of the Nevi'im, a very high level drabbanan. That's when it is usher, that's when it will be a time of destruction, when you have a double whammy of the destruction, plus no Beis HaMikdash. And finally, the third stage, the middle stage, is when you don't have these two things coming together. Im ein shalom, we don't have the Beit HaMikdash. Gam ein shma, but it's not a time of destruction. Sort of like right now. Then it depends on the will of Israel. Ratzu, if they want. Ratzu, based if the Beis HaMikdash wants. Mitzanin. Lo ratzu, in mitzanin klal. It is optional. That means that the Beis HaMikdash has the right to decide, if you live in a time like ours, whether we should...
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
However, does that mean that, say, oh, it's really hot and humid this summer, and, you know, people are so tense from COVID, and no one's really in the mood to fast. Could you please just not want your... Could you just not want to fast? And if you don't want to, hey, the commandments can want to fast anymore, because we don't live in a time of destruction. So it's optional. Says the Ritva, sorry, side, but it doesn't work like that. Once we've already become accustomed, once Klal Yisrael have accepted upon ourselves, when do we accept upon ourselves? Once Klal Yisrael have accepted upon ourselves, then there's no ability to later generations to undermine that which we accept upon ourselves. When do they accept upon themselves? Well, it had to have been after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because the whole idea of that there's no Shalom, but there's no Shmad was shortly after, during the first Beis HaMikdash, during the middle, the time between the two Batei Mikdash, then I assume it was considered a time of Shmad, those 7 years of Galus. Then the second Beis HaMikdash was alive, then it was a time when there was Sasa Simcha. Then the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, immediately after the destruction it was a time of Shmad and no Beis HaMikdash, double whammy, so it was obligatory. As the Shmad slowly dissipated, and we just go into a normal humdrum life of Galus, so we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but it's not Shmad, it now becomes a time of Ratzu, they do have to fast, Ratzu, you don't have to fast, you have a choice. Sorry. So sometime shortly after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, in the, I would guess, around the year 100 of the Common Era, 200, 300 of the Common Era, in the time of the Tanaim, sometime around then, the Chachamim decided, we accept upon ourselves that we want to fast, to commemorate, I guess, both Batei Mikdash at this point in history. We look back and we see this is something that Klal Yisrael wants to do. We want to fast. And therefore, we're going to continue to fast. But, wait a second. If the only reason why we're fasting nowadays is because that's what the Chachamim of that generation, let's assume in the time of the Tanah, you know, 100 years after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Let's pick a year, say 100 of the Common Era, 150 of the Common Era. If that's because the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed around 70, so right around 70 was destruction. So then there was a Chiyuv to fast, an absolute Chiyuv to fast, Midivrei Nevi'im, an absolute Takana Drabban, a high-level Takana Drabban, you have to fast. But as, you know, all the Roman destruction subsided, let's say by the time you get to 150 of the Common Era, let's assume at that point things have subsided. So now the Chacham of that generation say, okay, we decide that no, we don't have to fast, it's up to whatever we want, we as a Klal Yisrael, we as Klal Yisrael, they took the pulse to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people definitely wanted to have these fasts to commemorate the churbanos that we have encountered, the two churbanos that we have encountered. But wait a second. If that's the case, that it's only obligatory, and they only accept it upon themselves because they wanted to, guess what? It only goes so far as how much they were willing to accept. Well, guess what? You know what a real tzom involves? A real tzom involves no showering. A real tzom involves no anointing. A real tzom involves no tashash hamita, no na'alayim. A real tzom involves no achila, of course, like we do on Tisha B'Av, exactly. But apparently, when they accepted upon themselves that they want to fast for the rest of Jewish history, they only accepted the real fasting on Tisha B'Av. But on the three other fasts, Shabbat, Sabbat, Tammuz, Sabbat, Tevis, and Sabbat, Gedalia, they didn't accept upon themselves a full fast. They only accept upon themselves not to eat and drink. That's what the Ritva concludes. Mikol makom ein aleinu ela kemo sheratzu harishonim. We only have to do as much as those that early generation who committed to fasting, who accepted upon themselves to fast. Ratzu lona she'ein aleinu ela istra achila shtia. That's all that they accepted upon themselves. Aval hafsek mivod yom. Also, real fast should really start when? At shkia, the night before, right? Like Tisha B'Av? But since they accepted upon themselves, however they want, they could do so however they wanted to accept upon themselves. So for Shiva Sabbatamas and Asara B'Teves and some Gedalia, they accepted upon themselves only from the morning, only Achil and Shtia, and not the other things. All the other things, Rechitz, Daniel, Sassan, accept, etc., lo kiblu alayah. Now, we have just about enough tools to come to our question. But the one who deals with our question, as you see, I wrote in English, Yavachola, who's not so ill, the person has a bad headache, but they could, you know, they didn't have their coffee. They have coffee every morning at 7 in the morning, and on Yontif, and on these fast days, they didn't have their coffee. And they know they're going to get a bad headache. The headache is going to set in, and it's really powerful bang at around 11, 11:30. And it starts little, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And by 11:30 at noon, they're going to have a terrible headache. And they're going to have to break their fast because they have a terrible headache, which is indeed the halacha. The question is, should they push through till 12? Or could they just start, you know, should they just have their coffee once they already feel the first little pang of uncomfortableness? With a little bit of pain. Let's see the Avnei Nezer, the Sachet Shavu Rebbe, who lived about 100 some odd years ago, a little bit more than 100 years ago. He died around 100 years ago, actually. I think he died before World War I, just around that time, right around World War I. So just over 100 years ago, I believe he died. His son was the Sfas Emes. No, the Shemi Shmuel. I'm sorry, the Shemi Shmuel is the son of the Sachet Shavu Rebbe, and the Sachet Shavu Rebbe wrote the Avnei Nezer. Now, he was asked the following. You'll see a familiar word there that's fascinating to know that in Europe they have the same word. Dvar the Yeshua v'tzom ha-chamishi. What's tzom ha-chamishi? That's Tisha B'Av. The fifth month after Nisan is Tisha B'Av. Asher ha-doktor, he's here chadadat to warn you shalol hisanos, so you shouldn't fast. U'bekosh yitil chal hisanos ha-chaz. But that said, if you really want, you could fast till noon. But the Dat said, I don't want you fasting the whole day. So now, should you fast till noon? The Dat said you could, right? Says the Avnei Nezer, it's clear to me that there's no point to fast at all. Wake up. Go to shul in the morning, get home at 8 o'clock and eat your breakfast. Have your coffee. Why? The makom choli lo gozer rabbanan. Because since the whole nature of the din rabbanan, of this fast is rabbanan, we have a rule. The chachamim never made their takanos in places of illness. They want to push us. The chachamim, when they put all their restrictions on us and all their takanos rabbanan, they want to push us. They don't want to make us sick. They don't want to make our life difficult. They just want to push us to our max. So if it's a place of a choli, lo gozer rabbanan. Fine. Now watch what he says. I'm not going to go through this, but he says, even though the Taz discusses this question, we're not going to the Taz. You'll see, well, we don't have to go, you'll see what we're going to do in a moment. Even though the Taz says it's not so clear, then maybe he should fast as long as he can, and then when he has to break his fast, he'll break his fast because he has to, but as long as he can fast, he should fast. Says the Avnei Nezer something fascinating. Hinei, after all, v'chidushi Rashba v'ritva, that's what we just learned. We just learned the Ritva on Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Chesed Beis. And you know what they said? They said the following. They said, the way they explained the Gemara, is that even Tisha B'Av depends on what? On Ratzu or Lo Ratzu. If the Chachamim, if the Klal Yisrael in the early generations, soon after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash in the year, let's say 150 of the Common Era, they felt if they want the fast to apply or they don't want the fast to apply. And they decided, the Chacham goes with Tisha B'Av Lisanos, Afilu Ratzu Shlo Lisanos, Imkein Shuv Havid Rabbanan. It's only because they decided that we should fast, and therefore it's only going to be Mid Rabbanan. Okay. Based on what he said, what is he saying? He's saying that since, let's go back. Based on how we explained this learn Rosh Hashanah. As explained by the Ritva, that once it's a time where there's no Beis HaMikdash, but there's no Shemad, like our generation, the need to fast is entirely depends on what the accepted custom is. If they want to fast, they fast. If they don't want to fast, they don't want to fast. What do we see clearly? That it's not really even a takana of the Nevi'im to fast anymore. Now it just depends on the Chachamim in the time of the Tanaim, which is a lower level Drabbanan than a takana of the Nevi'im. And they decided, we do want to fast. Okay, we do want to fast. But how did they accept upon themselves to the fast? Well, we learned they accepted upon themselves to fast in a very limited way. They accepted upon themselves to fast only in a certain type of fasting. We don't want the full fast. We don't want the fast that starts at Shkia the night before, except for Tisha B'Av. We don't want that full fast that has Isra of Rechitza and Ilas Asando. Let me ask you an interesting question. In the time of Golas Bavel, in that first time period when they first started fasting for these four fasts, what did Shiva, Asura B'Tamas, and some Gedalia and Asura B'Teves look like? Well, that was a time of Shmad. In the time of Shmad, it was identical to Tisha B'Av that we know, because the fast was obligatory. It wasn't based on how they wanted. It was obligatory. In a time where there's no Beis HaMikdash and there's a time of destruction like that during Golas Bavel, they fasted four times a year, four Tisha B'Av a year. Even some Gedalia had to be from the previous night with an Isra Rechitza and Isra Nilas Asando. Only after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we got to a sort of this equilibrium period, not so terrible, life is not so bad, we're in this, yes, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but there's no Shema, there's no, we're not suffering destruction right now. Then there was this new want, we could accept it how, on our terms. And when the Chachamim of that generation, after the second Beis HaMikdash accepted it, they did take it on their own terms. Their terms were that we're going to start fasting only in the morning. We're not really going to prohibit, you know, washing and wearing shoes, except Tisha B'Av, we'll leave Tisha B'Av. If that's the case, that's only based on how we accept it. It's really just a drabbanan, not even a takana from the Nevi'im, because the takana of the Nevi'im was only applicable when there's destruction. But in our generation, for the past 1900 years, where there's no shmad, then it's not a maybe, unless you call the Holocaust and situations like that shmad. That could be true. But for most of the time when we are sort of in an equilibrium, the takana is only to do as the rabbis accepted upon themselves for midrabbanan. If that's the case, for somebody who's ill, the rabbi said, you don't have to fast. And therefore, concludes Avri Nezer, why was the Taz Machmir in this Shaila? And he says that if somebody's ill, they should fast at least a half a day or something like that. You know why? Look what he says. During the time of the Taz, he didn't have this explanation of the Gemara that I shared with you from the Rashba, because the first Rashba was only printed in the time of the Mishnah LeMelech, a generation or two, a little bit after the Taz. The Taz didn't have access to this explanation of the Gemara that we learned together tonight. The Chidush HaRitva, and the Chidush HaRitva, which is what I actually learned literally with you, the Rashba we didn't do, we just did the Ritva, that was the purple letters, that was printed only Bismanenu in the 1800s. So the Taz, who lived earlier than that, who lived, I think, in the time of the Chmielnitsky massacres in the late 1600s, he didn't have access to this Ritva, to this Rashba, to the way of understanding the Gemara that you and I just understood. And therefore, you and I, who have the original explanation of this Gemara before the Taz, right, from the time of the Rishon, the Rashba, and the Ritva, we know what this Gemara really means that the Taz didn't have. We understand that the Gemara really means that in our generation, it was completely accepted upon the Chacham however they wanted, and they accepted it as a certain level of a Drabbanan, and therefore, if somebody's ill, Chacham didn't want to accept upon themselves this fast for somebody who's ill. L'chein bar, and therefore it is clear that somebody who's going to have to break their fast because they're sick, shalol yisados klal v'tocham yad beboker, they should have their coffee in the morning. And that's the halacha. So, the halacha that the Avnei Nezer is paskening, and I believe we can pasken like this, is that somebody who's sick, again, if somebody's not sick, but they're going to get sick, that might be a little different. But if somebody has any illness, somebody has a diabetes situation, somebody has a heart condition, somebody has a they're doing treatments, whatever the situations might be. I'm not even talking about pikuach nefesh. We don't need to come out to pikuach nefesh. Somebody has a sickness, somebody has the flu, somebody has a bad headache and they could push through for a few hours till it gets really bad. Somebody has strep throat maybe, bad case of strep throat. Somebody has something that they're sick and that warrants that they're allowed to fast. They don't have to try to push through for a few hours. They do not have to try to fast till chatzos. A lot of people have that misconception that, oh, let me at least try to fast the chatzos. That is not the halacha. The halacha is that if a person is sick, lo gozer bar rabbanan. The chachamim, since the nature of our fast is no longer It's not even that strong level takana of the chachad and neviim rishonim. Now it's only a level of obligation of ratzu yes, lo ratzu lo. If the chachamim want to, then yes, they want to know. They only accepted upon themselves the nature of a chiyuv on this lower level of obligation that we now have. And therefore, there is no need for somebody who is not feeling well. There is no need. How much do they have to not feel? Well, we could discuss. But certainly, with somebody who has a medical condition that the doctor says they do have to eat, then there's no point. They're not. They don't have to push themselves to get till chatzos and say, "Oh, let me at least fast a half a day." If they want to, they can. But it's not halachically. You could do whatever you want, but that's not halachically expected or required, or even I can't even say that it's ideal from a halachic perspective. There is no chiyuv. There's no chiyuv. So what are you doing? That is the answer to our question. Based on the ritual that we just learned, I want to just finish with. Let's jump ahead for a second to see two more things. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked a very interesting question. Let's say a person has two choices. If they go to work, they know they work in a high-pressure environment, or they work on their feet. I've gotten this question most of the time. Most shilas that I've got from this exact genre of shilas were from nurses. Nurses are the ones who ask me this shilas more than anyone else. The shilas is presented as follows. I have to go to work today. It's a fast day. But I know that I'm going to be on my feet, and I'm going to be running around, and if I do go to work, I'm going to have to break my fast. So should I take off the day from work? Very simple question. I've gotten the question many times. So that could apply not just to nurses who are on their feet, or Dr. Pinter, you're in the ER, and that could happen. You could ask the same Shaila and anyone else who's in a high pressure job. If you stay home, you're not going to have the pressure. You stay lying in bed in air conditioning, and you listen to your music on your earphones. But if you're at work, things are tense, and you're running around. You're going to get a headache later in the day. You're going to get a little more dehydrated. You're going to have to break your fast. So do you have to take off the day from work? Are you allowed to go to work if you know you're going to have to break your fast? That was the question that Moshe and Igros Moshe Chelik Tal or Chaim Chelik Tal and Simur Kuf Yudal discusses. So he says, if it's a weakness, first of all, he says a point that we'll see soon. Ramosha's understanding is that if somebody is weaker than the normal person's strength, for whatever reason, such a person is not obligated to fast. If you are sicker than a normal person would be theoretically sick during a fast day, for whatever reason, you're not obligated to fast. So he says, therefore, and this certainly applies to nurses, it's lichatchila permitted to go to work. It's you're doing good kind of work. Again, if you're you're just a mortgage broker for yourself and you're not really helping, a commercial mortgage broker, you're not really helping anybody. Maybe it's not melechas shemayim, but since you're doing good work, most of us are involved with doing good work. If you would stay home, you wouldn't have a problem fasting. You'd be able to, you sit at home, you lie in bed, you stay calm, you stay hydrated, you're not going to schwitz. But if you go to work, after yechalash v'yitzarech lechol, you're going to get weakened and you have to eat. So then it's going to be permitted to go to work. Now he says something interesting. Or if you're an employee for somebody else. Wow, you work for somebody else. Then even if it's not a mitzvah job that you work, you're not a nurse, you're not an OT, you're not a PT, you're not helping other people. But you're an employee in an investment bank. But you're hired work. If you're hired work, so then, by you not coming to work, it hurts the bank that you're working for. It hurts the firm that you're working for. If you're hired by others, even if it's not a mitzvah type of work, you're not in the helping, the caring, the allied professional field, etc. It still has tachir. Therefore, you should go to work. Even if it will cause a person to be weakened, I need to eat. And finally, he concludes, and anybody who has a weak, a weak composition, that's the word. If somebody is of weak composition, is considered sick in this regard and is permitted to eat on a fast day. I was once running an outreach program in Eretz Israel called July in Jerusalem for beginners in Judaism. And we had college students who were either Bali Tshuva or becoming Bali Tshuva or had recently become Bali Tshuva. And there was one young lady on our trip. It was Tisha B'Av, I remember very vividly. And on Tisha B'Av, we purposely tried to schedule a trip to Yad Vashem because it's very appropriate. And it distracts, you're not focusing on the fast because it's very, but it is emotionally draining on some level. So we had a young lady on our trip. It was a trip for college-age men and women. And there's a young woman on our trip who happened to be a very slight build, a very small, petite young lady. And at one point in the in this trip, I think it was right as we were about to go into the children's memorial, she starts, I don't know if she fainted, she almost fainted, And after I realized, you know, she had, you know, she never really, she didn't have much experience fasting. And, you know, she was somebody of very, very weak composition as far as ability to fast. I didn't know till afterwards. She, you know, apparently she, you know, she's prone to fainting and she's prone to, you know, getting dehydrated. So such a person who's of very weak composition and is often gets dehydrated. And, you know, when people ask me, oh, could I eat, drink or eat? You know, the first question I ask is, do you have a history of getting dehydrated? Because a person has a history of getting dehydrated, a person is very weak in general, so such a person is already in the category of a chola who doesn't have to fast in the first place. And that's psak of the Mishnah Berurah, that's the psak also indicated here by Reb Moshe Feinstein. So we'll stop here. We should be zonchav be'ezes Hashem back to that pasuk. Now we understand the pasuk a little bit more deeply. But now, just like Zechariah said regarding his expectation of the second Beis HaMikdash that these four fast days will be days of sasa, simcha, moedim, tovim, we should be zonchav to the ultimate fulfillment of that pasuk in Zechariah, that all the fast days, first of all, we should all be healthy, we should all have strength and health be'ezes Hashem as we move forward through the summer, stay healthy, we should stay healthy and hydrated, but also be'ezes Hashem, we should be zonchav to the time of the ultimate.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.